Okay, before we come directly into the message this morning, I'd like to review a little from what was emphasized in the message last night, so that those that are with us now, I did not hear that message, we will all be brought in together to the same perspective, the same point of view. We will all be clear what is the overall burden. And for those that were able to be here last night, a little reminders won't hurt anybody. These two outlines are based upon message 7 released during the last itero. The general subject of that itero was meeting God's need and present needs in the Lord's recovery. And we saw in the message last night, we have a need to labor on the all-inclusive Christ. Now, why do we have a need? Well, the answer is portrayed in the history of the people of Israel after they entered into the good land and had their allotted portions, then they had to labor on it. The manna stopped coming down from heaven. They could go up early looking for manna. You wouldn't find any. The Lord would say, get up early and start laboring to produce a crop. And they produced various precious things to meet their own needs and to use in worshiping God. As we read this morning, there's that verse, do not appear before Jehovah empty-handed. So the best part of their produce, the result of their labor, they would bring all together and having a wonderful, joyful time, it truly is a feast, they would offer the best to God, then they share everything with one another. It was a glorious time. And that's a picture of a certain aspect of the Christian life and the church life. And the word that was the central word in last night's message was labor. Labor, not just work. I think we all know the difference. When you go to work tomorrow, you're fulfilling your tasks. You are faithful to the responsibilities. You need to produce a certain amount. But to labor, that is much weightier and more intense and requires more energy. Like farmers, they don't just get up and work for a while. They labor on the land to produce the produce. And the crucial point from last night's message was the definition of laboring on Christ. To labor on the all-inclusive Christ is to exercise our spirit to contact him in all circumstances and all situations. Because all of us are very clear about this. We're all living every day surrounded by situations and circumstances. Whether we're going to and fro from work or from school or in the family, we don't have to go into it. This is how human life is. It was even ordained that we need to work. We need to take care of our families. We need to fulfill our human responsibilities. We need to honor the government. We need to pay taxes. All of this, we're the same outwardly as the 325 million people in the United States. But to labor on Christ is to exercise our spirit to contact him in the midst of the situation. Outwardly, we're working, but inwardly, we exercise to contact the Lord. When we do that, then he produces himself in us. We exercise, we labor, he produces himself in us. Now we can come to this morning's message, our need to exhibit Christ in the church and to have a surplus of Christ for the corporate worship of God our Father. It's a rather long title. I'd like to read it again. Our need to exhibit Christ in the church. So this is to make a display, to openly present. This is the Christ that cared for me so much this week. I never experienced such shepherding in my situation than this week. He really is the shepherd of our souls. And then someone else may just testify or may offer this in prayer. Lord, thank you for perfecting faith. You're the author and perfecter of my faith. You know, my faith is developing. And I've been in this very difficult situation. I don't know what to do. And I believe the best thing was to look away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and you infused more believing ability into me. And I just want to thank you. You are a faith-producing and faith-perfecting Christ. These are just some illustrations of exhibiting Christ in the church and also to have a surplus of Christ that is not for us. And it is not directly for the church. It is for God our Father. To have a portion, to have something of the Christ we have experienced and enjoyed, so that corporately, when we worship God our Father, we can, in our worship, in our praise, in our thanksgiving, worship him with the Christ who has become so real to us. Now, it is quite clear, I think, from this subject that this message is about the church life and about all the meetings of the church. Any meeting that can be called an aspect of the church life is involved. It may be a meeting with your vital companions, three or four of you. It may be a meeting in a home on a Friday night or any other night. It may be a district meeting for prayer or for the Lord's Day. Or the whole church may come together for a meeting. Maybe from time to time, a few churches come together. And then we look forward to the time when alive and in the Ministry Conference Center, 4,000 or 5,000 of us can meet together for a semi-annual training. But the principle is the same. This is the governing principle. We do not come to any meeting or gathering empty. Empty. So this is something we are learning. When I released this message previously, it was in a training and an atmosphere, and the purpose of a training is different from a conference, a mini conference like this. So I'm not approaching this as a training. I'm not addressing the elders and responsible brothers in the whole recovery, and making them aware by the Lord's supply of their responsibilities. For instance, in Hebrews 13, the apostle said to the saints, obey, honor the leading ones, for they watch over your souls, and they must give an account to God. Well, they're the overseers. They have a big responsibility. Here is Sister A, and because we care for her, we shepherd her, we watch over her, she needs this aspect of Christ, and we pray for her. We don't correct her, criticize her, judge her, point the finger. That's not how we live. But there's a need. We do our best to supply. So I am sharing this message with my dear brothers and sisters from various places concerning our church life meetings. And I never say or do anything political. I agree with Brother Lee when he said, I hate being political. I'm not a diplomat. To be faithful to the Lord and to you, I just need to be straightforward, but in a tender and loving and caring spirit, I look to the Lord. Many of us can understand what I'm about to say. Others will soon learn and understand. And that is, I would say I've been in two kinds of church meetings in the last 55 years. And let me focus especially on Lord's Day meetings, and even more specifically on the Lord's table and what follows after that. And there have been meetings where all the saints come, if not on time, quite early. There's just this urge, this longing to come together. And even on the way, for some years, 200 or 300 of us lived within a 5-minute walk from Eldon Hall. While we're walking, we're praying, we're fellowshipping, we're singing. And then whatever we had brought into us from the previous week, it's just there. And that is one way. We're not empty-handed, and we're not late, and we're not passive. But honestly, this is from my perspective, which is very limited. I mean, one person, how big can his perspective be? In the last many years, most of the Lord's Day morning meetings have been to me very predictable. Here's a Lord's Day. I'm meeting in the district or with the whole church in Anaheim. Meeting starts at 9:30. Maybe 60% are on time. And then, little by little, for the next 20 minutes, saints come in. It doesn't seem to bother them. And what do we mainly do in the meetings? We sing. We love to sing. We have wonderful hymns. So someone calls a hymn, and we sing. And then what do? We pray with lines from the hymn. And then at a certain point, there's the breaking of bread and the partaking of the cup. And we continue singing and praying over the hymns with sincerity. No doubt about it. And then we'll see this later in the message. There's a turn ordained by God, with the firstborn son taking the lead to worship God the Father, to worship him. And I cannot remember, honestly, in recent years, of being in a Lord's table meeting where there was something other than singing one hymn, maybe two hymns, about the Father. And then we pray with the lines from the hymns, and maybe we sing a little, and that's it. Very little, if any, worshiping of God the Father with the highest portion of the Christ we have been enjoying. Now, there's a designation for this kind of meeting. It's religious. It's religious. I know the background. I know the formality. I know the predictability. And only the sovereign Lord, whose eyes are everywhere right now, he knows the situation, the need in all the churches. And he loves all the churches. He gave himself up for us. So this message is not, I say again, definitely, to criticize or judge or condemn. But maybe this parallel, this illustration might help. If I want to be in very good health, I want to know the condition of the health in my body, I need to come to a physician or maybe a specialist and have him care for me and have him help me to realize this is where you are and it's okay. But if you want to improve, consider this and that. I don't feel judged by my cardiologist or by my general physician. This is care. But if I'm not willing, as some men, I don't mean brothers, I don't know what there is about men, many of them, not all, they shun doctors. They don't want to go away. I think maybe they're just afraid of finding out what might be there. But I feel the best way is to know the real condition, so that we can get the best help there is. So this is what I'm aiming at, for us to realize that the Lord, from this point on, gradually wants to minister to us so that every meeting and gathering we participate in, Christ is exhibited. This doesn't mean we do this formally. Oh, it's exhibition time. We have 15 minutes. No. Our being itself is an exhibition of Christ. Sometimes you can just sense, and this dear saint, from their countenance, from their radiance, from the spirit of their praying. Wow, what have you been experiencing? You've been enjoying something. Christ is increasing. And so the message has two sections. The first is on laboring on Christ, to have the riches of Christ, to exhibit Christ in the church. Now, this does not mean on the Lord's Day morning, you sit down on a table with a pen and paper and try to figure out, well, what are the riches that I will bring? It's not like that. It's already in you. It's already in you. And your relationship with the Lord now is clear. It's up to date. And you know, to a very large extent in this last week, as you've been learning to labor on Christ, you labored more last week than any other week. And you just sense, I'm not coming empty. I'm not even sure what is filling me, but I know this, I'm not empty. And when you open to pray and praise, then the Spirit may draw forth what is in you. We will learn to do this. And then we have a section on worshiping God our Father. And we read those verses from John 4, 23 and 24. And we need to see something very correctly. The Lord said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truthfulness. The Father needs such, not worship, such worshipers, the person. A person who has not only the exercise of the Spirit, but a portion of Christ, the truthfulness, that is the divine reality, wrought into your being to become your content, something of Christ, whether you realize it or not yet, has been worked into your being. And now when we turn, because the Spirit is leading us to turn, we worship the Father. We're not empty. And Brother A could say, have the sense, I have something to thank the Father so. I'm just eager to thank him. Father, thank you for giving your Son to us. Thank you that your Son was this to me. And I want to share what I enjoyed of your Son with you. This is your beloved Son. This is the worship in spirit and truthfulness. Okay, now we go through the outline. And I will be very careful with the time. I won't go over time. And maybe I'll even stop well before 11:30. That might be kind of a surprise, a little shorter message, but we'll see how the Spirit flows. Roman numeral 1. If we faithfully labor on the all-inclusive Christ, we will have the riches of Christ as the produce to exhibit Christ in the church. And let me point out, we exhibit Christ. We don't exhibit ourselves to say, oh, I learned this. I experienced this. That is an exhibition of the self. To exhibit Christ is to express him, to share him, to minister him in the church. The proper life of Christians is to labor on Christ every day and thus have the rich surplus of Christ to bring to the meetings for a rich exhibition of Christ. I'm glad we could, in various ways, where we are, follow the words of hymn 864. A wonderful, wonderful hymn. Let us exhibit Christ. I don't know when this hymn was written in Chinese, maybe in the early 60s. But here I want to mention something that Brother Lee said in a message in 1983, about meeting together to praise the Lord, to worship God. This is what he said to us. For 40 years, I've been struggling, I've been fighting for the recovery of this kind of meeting for 40 years. From 1943 to 1983. Then the Lord gave him almost 14 more years. That was, he said that 38 years ago. And I'm no mathematician, but I think I can say 40 plus 38 equals 78. And we're still in the battle. And then I insert this now. And I have a file, and I've shared this with leading brothers in other countries. A list, not just a list, a collection of some of Brother Lee's words toward the end of his ministry concerning the future of the Lord's recovery, the future. And this was his deepest concern, that somehow the nature of the Lord's recovery will change. And what we know as their recovery will become part of religious organized Christianity. That was in Brother Lee's heart. And I can tell you, it's in my heart, nonstop, day and night. Many years ago, in the early 1980s, every Thursday, Brother Lee would have an office meeting, because on Thursday morning, a few dozen dear saints came to volunteer, you know, packing the books for shipping. We had a few serving full time, but so many came faithfully. Without them, we could not have carried out the work in a practical way. And Brother Lee would be with us for 45 minutes or an hour. Sometimes he would share more based upon the message the night before. But this particular time, there was some informal fellowship. And so the atmosphere was open to bring things to him. And I said this to Brother Lee. I could say this only to him. I said, Brother Lee, I feel a certain way when I'm in a meeting on the Lord's Day in the church in Anaheim. Brother Lee, I feel like I'm back into the Presbyterian denomination, because I knew the difference and I knew the similarity. And then he responded with much fellowship. And then toward the end of that, he said, Brother Ron is correct. And while I have breath, I say this sincerely, my beloved brothers and sisters, while I have breath and energy to speak on his behalf, I will fight against our degrading to be a part of organized Christianity. And the Lord is for us, which is why he brought forth that general subject for the iterum. And he is for us right now. He's praying for us right now. He's moving in us right now to bring us not to a repetition of the past in Eldon Hall, but to bring us into a realm of the church life beyond our dreams. Meeting after meeting, full of Christ, full of joy, full of produce, full of sharing with one another what Christ has been to us. Then then what worship of the Father? What an exhibition of Christ. What a shame this will be to the enemy. I believe this is coming. This is a word of promise from the Lord. This is where he's moving. And I know from some fellowship I had with brothers just before this meeting, brothers are going to take the lead. We're going to learn together what it is to labor on Christ. And we're going to learn together what it means to exhibit Christ. And we're going to learn together how to truly worship God our Father. We're in this together. And so all that I'm going to say and read from this point on is with this spirit. It's with a bright future. I mean it. I believe it. The best is ahead. Let's follow Paul's example, forgetting the things that are behind, stretching forward to what is ahead. So the subpoints under A, we come together in the church meetings to have an exhibition of Christ. Because Christ must have the preeminence in everything. This is in Colossians. He must have the first place in everything. He's the center of everything. Even that vital group meeting mentioned in Matthew 18. Two or three are gathered together into my name. That means we're out of ourselves. We're gathered into the Lord's name. We're in his person. Now, with him as the focus, we can pray whatever's on his heart. And what the heavens have bound, we bind. What the heavens have loosed, we loose. We didn't plan this. The Lord gathered us together, and this is what flowed out. This is a vital group meeting. And we will have many, many more as the day approaches. Two, through our daily experience of the riches of Christ, these riches will become an exhibition of the produce of Christ. But if we have no produce, we have nothing to exhibit. Now we're meeting. So what should we do? What should we say? How should we pray? Well, then we have to do something. But when more and more we are coming with the inner sense, this last week has not been in vain. The things that I have been passing through, the Lord knows how difficult they are, but it's not in vain. Because I have more Christ coming now to this meeting than 2 weeks ago. I just sense this. I'm not rapture ready yet, but neither am I stagnant. There is progress, and I can see this in the saints also. More Christ. And we leave that meeting not only joyful, but comforted and encouraged, because we can just sense it. The meeting is full of Christ, and new ones when they come, whether they react to the way we meet and how we sit and how we pray and how we can say things altogether out loud, they will sense the Lord is here. Christ is here. Three, our meeting should always be an exhibition to show forth what Christ is, what Christ has, and what Christ does. So we will all have, even if it's just a little portion, don't despise your little portion. That's a little portion of Christ. And only you have that little portion. The only way we can know that aspect of Christ is through you. And notice what it says here, that we exhibit, we show forth what Christ is. So someone may be able to share an aspect of what Christ is. Christ is the victor. I know a little more about Christ is the victor. He has conquered the enemy. And this week I saw him conquer the enemy. And someone else says a different aspect of what Christ is. Then someone else shares what Christ has. And someone else, what Christ does. There's no conformity here. We all have our portion. Then how much we learn from one another's sharing. It's really like a love feast with so many different dishes coming together. And each one brought something, but we just have the feast is way beyond what we can take. That is a picture of a church meeting that exhibits Christ. B, we meet to exhibit not only Christ given to us by God, but also the Christ we have produced, the Christ on whom we have labored and whom we have experienced. This is the Christ we're coming together to exhibit. So these two words go together. Labor, exhibit. An exhibit is to share and express the Christ you have experienced and enjoyed through your exercise of the Spirit in all situations. A lot can happen in 7 days in us. A lot can happen. 7 days. And because we're learning, it may not be nonstop, uninterrupted fellowship. We're all the same. We're in the Spirit. We're out. We're in. We're out. We're in. We're all learning this. There's no experts here. We're all learning. But the fact is, now you exercise more than before. And in more situations than ever before. And there's just this sense. My inner being is so satisfied. It's supplied. It's filled. Now, Lord, I know what grace is. I know why that's the last word in the Bible. The grace be with all of us. You were my grace in this situation. I didn't get angry. I didn't react. I was supplied by grace. How did this happen? The Lord might indicate, how did it happen? Because when you were in that situation, you exercised your Spirit to contact me, and I knew that you needed grace right then. And I was grace to you. And not just a little bit of grace. I filled you with grace. Then this is unending, okay? B, point B. Oh, no, I read point B already. The Christ on whom we have labored and experienced. And no one can labor on your portion of Christ, your allotment. That is your portion. Either you labor on it, or it's not labored on at all. And of course, don't be surprised. Don't judge yourself. We may not know what our allotted portion is. We don't know. We can tell the Lord, I have a portion, that's the truth, but I really don't know what it is. I need to find out. And the Lord may indicate, you want to find out. The way is to exercise your Spirit and contact me. Now it's point C. If we continually labor on Christ, we will have the rich surplus of Christ to bring to meetings for such an exhibition of Christ. So it's continually labor. It's not fluctuating labor according to our mood. You know, it's not fair to the sisters to say, oh, they just have they're so emotional and they have their moods, but we brothers are calm and this and that. Well, middle-aged brothers, they can actually live their church life according to mood. I'm in a down mood, so I come in late and sit in the back. And then 3 days later, I come, I'm happy, I'm full of joy, I sit in the front row. This is mood. And to some extent, we all have moods. And we got this body, it's a body of sin, a body of death. And the body chemistry can produce all kinds of goofy things in us and all kinds of feelings. For some, we need medicine. Others, we just need the cross. And so we have to learn to not be governed by our mood. I don't feel like it. Like the example I gave last night, but I believe many of us, humanly speaking, we wake up early in the morning. It's a work day. It's a Thursday morning. And even before the alarm went off, you woke up maybe an hour before, and you were so glad. Oh, an hour. There's an hour more. And then the alarm rings. Instead of saying, oh, Lord, you say, oh, no. I don't want to get up. I don't feel like getting up. But you get up. Your will conquers because you know what you have to do. You're a mom and you know the little ones. You have to take care of them. You know how long it takes to drive to work and what your responsibilities are. And so you go against your oh, no. Because you have a responsibility to work. Well, if we have the vision of the all-inclusive Christ and a vision of exhibiting Christ in the church, then we will be trained. We will learn to labor continually. No matter how I feel in my soul life, no matter how my soul life is reacting to things, I will not be ruled by that. And our exercise to say this, I will not be governed by that. I'm going to exercise my spirit. I'm not going to wait until I feel better. I'm not going to wait until my mood changes. I want to contact the Lord now. And I turn my heart to him and exercise my spirit to contact him. And now I'm able to labor because it says continually labor. And the same thing applies to situations. Small everyday situations. Like I mentioned, being in the left turn lane toward the back of a line of cars, waiting for the green arrow to turn, realizing if I don't make it, I'll be there another 2.5 minutes, and I need to get home right away. And then someone has slow reflexes, and so I end up before the red arrow. I don't like it. I don't like that driver either. Why don't you alert? And don't you know Ron Kangas is left here at the red arrow? But that's a little situation. But now I'm learning. Yeah, I haven't passed the final exam of red arrows yet. I may get another one tomorrow, okay? Because the Lord will give me the same test until I pass. That's how he does it. That's his educational system. But no, now I realize, look, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to violate the law and make a left turn against the red. So what should I do? Be grumpy for 2.5 minutes, or say, Lord, I got a red arrow here. I think it's your sovereign arrangement for me to contact you for 2.5 minutes. So I'm going to tell the enemy to shut up and spend 2 minutes while I'm waiting for the green arrow to contact you. Don't you think Christ can do something in you in 2.5 minutes? I know he can. He does. KD, whenever we come together, regardless of the kind of meeting we are having, we should come with the Christ experienced by us as the surplus to be offered to God and exhibited to the whole universe and to the enemy, putting him to shame. Because the evil powers in the air, they're also watching. And if a meeting is formal, if it's dead, these evil spirits will mock us before God. They'll say, look, is that your church? Look at that. But once we realize the battle is going on, we're just having a meeting. But eventually, some of us need to realize there's a battle raging all the time. And we can bring glory to God by having a meeting in which we exhibit Christ in the way suitable to the gathering. And the enemy is put to shame. And the Lord can say, look, did you see that meeting in a home? There were 9 of them there. Didn't you see how they expressed me, how they enjoyed me, how they ministered to me, how they prayed? I'm raising that up all over the earth, enemy, because we're going to deal with you. You will stop your mocking and listen to the praise of the overcomers in the churches. 1, then our meetings will be enriched and strengthened because they are full of Christ. Such a church life is an exhibition of Christ, an expression of Christ. We need to bring the surplus of Christ to every meeting to exhibit Christ. We need to enjoy Christ in our daily life and come together to exhibit him. Now I have the feeling to say something about enjoying Christ. I believe many of you, maybe even all of you, have heard me speak along this line before. The difference between experiencing Christ and enjoying Christ. Okay, we experience Christ, the all-inclusive Christ, as the life-giving Spirit in and with our spirit. The experience of Christ is in our mingled spirit. And when we are one spirit with the Lord and we exercise him, we automatically, spontaneously experience him. But this may sound strange. We may experience Christ without enjoying the Christ we have experienced. And here is a real life illustration that goes back more than 50 years that a family in the church where we were in Los Angeles, the parents asked if their younger daughter could just stay with us for a few hours while they had to do something. And that included dinner time. And we were glad to do it. And the food was set on the table. And the sister who prepared the food was a mother. She knew how children respond to food. She knows what's good for them. And the food was there. And the little girl refused to eat it. But in line with the parents' direction, we told her, well, there is a nice little dessert here. If you'd like to have it, you have to eat it. No, I won't eat it. Well, you are not allowed to leave the table until you eat it. Then everything was silent. And then after a few minutes, I heard the sound of a fork clicking on the plate and the food coming in. It didn't hurt the little girl. She experienced the food, but she didn't enjoy it. She didn't enjoy it. Now, what I'm aiming at is this. We can, and we actually do, experience Christ perhaps more than we realize. But enjoyment is mainly in the soul. Our soul is the organ for expressing Christ and enjoying Christ. That is why the Lord said to the overcomers who were willing to lose their soul life in order to follow him, and that day you will experience the salvation of your soul. Your soul will not be suffering. Your soul will participate in the joy of the Lord in the kingdom. And so I look back upon decades, I realized my soul, my feelings, my concepts have robbed me of enjoying the Christ I've been experiencing to some extent. And again, Brother Lee helped me. He helped me in this. His ministry helped me. And he mentioned a situation where he was scheduled on a flight. He was at the airport way ahead of time. And then he found out the flight was delayed for a few hours. And he's human. He had a feeling about it. But immediately he realized, if I stay in this feeling, the joy of the Lord will be gone. So I am going to enjoy Christ while I'm waiting for this period of time. That helped me so much. Because now we have a strong feeling in our soul. And often we won't let it go. For some reason, we hold on to it. In some cases, it can be used as a weapon. Someone bothered me, so now we have a feeling. And if I let it go, then I lose my weapon. In other words, I can't say you did this to me. No, you let it go. And so I'm learning, just like you, not to be ruled by feelings. They come again and again. And other things come into the mind again and again. But I'm a learner. I'm a disciple. Not a teacher, to learn, to recognize, this is the soul life. I want to enjoy Christ, not only experience Christ. And like I mentioned last night, someone who had the ground told me in a loving way, Ron, you are robbing yourselves of so much enjoyment just by the way you are. Not doing terrible things, just by the way you are in your natural life. So we need to enjoy Christ. We need joy. We know that verse from the Old Testament. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm just sharing some personal things. This happened one Saturday night. I went to bed quite early. For some reason, while I'm lying there, others, family, they're downstairs, And I was just being filled with joy. I could hardly believe it. So I came downstairs, and then a song came. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He is all things to me, and his spirit sets me free. Yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, that was the kind of the Lord giving me a taste, a taste. That's why again and again I refer to Brother Nee's last statement. I maintained my joy in the Lord. That's a sign of victory. That's the reality of the kingdom. And we need this. We all need more joy. We all need more enjoyment. This is a need. Even humanly speaking, human beings need joy. Where did God put man when he created him? On a big chunk of ice? In a desert? In a garden of paradise with these beautiful trees? Because this is a human need. And even more, it's a spiritual need to enjoy Christ in our daily life. Then what kind of meetings will we have? If we came together and we all came with joy from the previous week, and some of us, the situation is joy in the midst of tears. It's a joy in the midst of this kind of situation. But it's real. E, to have proper Christian meetings, we need to contact the Lord daily in our personal life and then come to the meetings with the realization and understanding that we are coming to exhibit Christ and share Christ with others. So we need a governing vision of why we are coming to meetings. Why are you coming to meet together with your companions? Why are you coming to this home to be with these saints? Why are you gathering with this district meeting? Why? Well, we can give outward reasons, and they may not be correct. But if we are enlightened, we will realize we are here to exhibit Christ. We are here in Christ. We are here to share the Christ that we love and experience and enjoy. Even when elders and leading brothers come together, hopefully for a weekly meeting, so many things they need to consider, so much responsibility. Are they clear? We all have to learn to be clear. Why are we coming together? Some would say, we have so many problems in the church. And sometimes as soon as the brothers come together, it's this happened and that happened and so-and-so did this. And it's unending. But if we realize we are gathering together to exhibit Christ, to enjoy Christ, to experience Christ together, now, brothers, you do this for a period of time, then it will be much easier to care for all the situations because you do that in Christ and with Christ. And then I quote from a hymn at the end of this section. Whate'er we meet, whene'er we meet, like whenever we meet with Christ endued, the surplus of his plenitude, we offer unto God as food, and thus exhibit Christ. Let us exhibit Christ. Saints, let us exhibit Christ. We'll bring the surplus to the church and thus exhibit Christ. When the in-person Lord's Table meetings are recovered in full. And we come together again to remember the Lord. That meeting will be the indicator of our living. Because that meeting is the measure. It's the most important meeting of the church. And if all we can do is just, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to pray. We can only say, praise the Lord. Remember Brother Samuel Chang, some of us know him, a spiritual father to us all. He was walking into the meeting hall with a young brother, and the brother said, praise the Lord, Brother Chang. And Brother Chang said, praise the Lord for what? For what? It was just a phrase. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. But I say again, as I said earlier, whatever the condition has been recently, whatever it is now, the Lord is going on and we are going on because we love him. We love one another. We love the Lord's recovery. We love the truth. We love the word. We love the ministry. And because we love the Lord, we want his heart's desire to be fulfilled. And we're willing to go on, and we will go on into a realm beyond anything we've ever known in the past. Now we turn to the next section, and in about 18 minutes, we'll cover it. That will be adequate because of length. We need to labor on the all-inclusive Christ in order to have a surplus of Christ to bring to the church meetings for the corporate worship of God our Father. And so when we labor on Christ and we have some produce, God intends us first to meet our needs. We're laboring on Christ to meet our need. And then we labor on Christ for the church meetings, to share with one another, to participate in this mutual enjoyment. But when we are worshiping the Father in the latter part of the Lord's table meeting, our Father wants us to worship him with a portion of Christ reserved for him. Now, in our mind, we may try to figure this out. You know, what is for me? What is for my family? What is to bring to the meeting? No, it's not like that. It's just you're governed by a vision. This Lord's Day morning meeting, or in rare cases, the evening meeting, because it's the Lord's Supper, that's evening, whatever time it is, this meeting is not for me. And this meeting is not for us. This meeting is to remember the Lord and to worship the Father. And I have my portion and I have my responsibility. And I believe eventually the Spirit will be convicting us one by one to say, here you are. It's good you're in the meeting, but you're empty. That's why you are silent. That's why so many still are silent. That's their pattern week after week. It's not just because you're not an aggressive person, because of this. No, it's because you're empty. But when we have the produce, we truly have something with which to remember the Lord and thank him and praise him. And then I'll read the verses in a moment. There's an inward turn after we have partaken of the bread and the cup. And the Christ within us is now leading us to worship God the Father. And what will happen I've been learning this because I have the heart to satisfy the Father. He's been waiting for centuries for worship in spirit and truthfulness. How much longer must he wait? And it's only in the local churches that there's any hope. The denominations, the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, just rituals means nothing to God. The Father seeks such to worship him. He seeks. This is touching, saints, for the Father to seek. He has so little. He's seeking worshipers who can worship him with the surplus of Christ, the portion reserved for him. And this for many of us is a new thought. The Lord is patient. He's forbearing. He's long-suffering. He knows at what pace we can advance. I believe deep within you know he's not judging. He is speaking directly in order to open the way for us to go on together into the most glorious church life we've ever known in the midst of the present world situation. Now in Matthew 26, the Lord established the Lord's table. He took the bread, he took the cup. He said, do this in remembrance of me. This is for me. I'm establishing this. Then in verse 30, we read this. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So they sang a hymn. And this is the Son of God there, as the Son of Man. They're singing a hymn. It's possible that the hymn they sang was from the psalm, I take the cup of salvation and praise your name. But surely the Son is leading the apostles to worship the Father. They sang that hymn to the Father. And then I turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Which is a quotation of Psalm 22. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the church, I will sing hymns of praise to you. I'm saying this next word to the older saints, but not only. Can you remember a time, and I remember a time, of being in a Lord's Day evening meeting? We really remembered the Lord. We partook of the bread and the cup. And then there's this inward turn that's really Christ in us. And now we begin to worship the Father. There have been times, not often, I just sensed, I can, in the spirit, I can sense Christ singing in the saints. And I just stopped. You could just tell Christ is in us right now, singing hymns of praise to the Father. This is the Son worshiping the Father, leading us to pray. And the way we sing those hymns to the Father are changed. And then something will flow out of us. Somewhat like the alabaster flask. And all the contents. It was broken and poured out on Christ. There will be a portion in us. We will learn. Deep within us, that's not for us. It's not for anyone else. It's not for the church. And then somehow when we are worshiping the Father, something is flowing out from deep within, and the Father knows this is real. This is truthful. This is genuine. This is Christ wrought into you. And he will be, will leave that meeting with a deep sense of the Father's satisfaction. But I know as your brother, two kinds of meetings. Leaving the Lord's table meeting with the inner sense, the Father is not satisfied. He's not angry. He's not judging. He's not satisfied. But leaving other meetings with the sense, the Father is so happy. He is satisfied. And we realize, thank you. This is the basic burden in this next section, which now I can read through in about 5 minutes or so. I want to read Romans 2 again. We need to labor on the all-inclusive Christ in order to have a surplus. A surplus is something beyond what we need, right? A surplus of Christ to bring to the church meetings for the corporate worship of God our Father. So now we bring this all together. I remember the brothers in Los Angeles announced that there would be a love feast. And they asked all the sisters, in addition to the particular food course they would prepare, that they would all bring a certain kind of salad. Coleslaw. And I remember one sister saying, I never made coleslaw. I will do it. I want to do it, but I've never made coleslaw. And then there's other sisters that they are experts at coleslaw. And it's not just like, you know, a plate or a bottle full. It's just almost spectacular. And so I brought the coleslaw in from my family. And here's a brother that had a great big barrel. And then all the coleslaw was put together. No one's coleslaw was separated. It didn't get a prize. This is gold medal coleslaw. This is silver coleslaw. This is bronze coleslaw. This gets no. No, it was all blended together. And I find that so encouraging, that don't look down upon your portion of coleslaw, spiritual speaking. You're just learning this. We all have to start somewhere. We're learning this. And what's going to happen? We bring it all together. And it's the corporate worship that is pleasing to the Father. A, for our worship of him, the Father requires that we come to him with the harvest of Christ. Thus, we need to come to the church meetings with the riches of Christ. Daily, we should labor on Christ to have a harvest of Christ's riches to bring to the church meetings for the corporate worship of God the Father. I suggest, almost appeal, that many saints, and I will describe in a moment who I have in mind, will do something to work out what we just read. And what we need is the prayer ministry of sisters. We urgently, desperately need your need. We brothers can pray, but not the way you can pray. You've got a portion that the body needs. And not just pray by repeating words on a paper, but it's within you. Father, we're praying all over your recovery. Recover the corporate worship of God and the Father. Lord, here we are in our locality. We're not criticizing the meetings. We're not judging anybody. We're not pointing the finger at the elders. We're in this together. We're learning this together. The word is being released, but there must be prayer. In 2 Samuel 7, after that marvelous word of prophecy was spoken by the prophet to David concerning, no, he will not build a house. His descendant will build the house. What did David do? He sat down before the Lord and he prayed back what had been spoken and said, Lord, do what you have spoken. Sisters, we need you, not just for one time. And I believe you come together, as many of you do. I know this is the case, even on Zoom. May the Lord release the prayers that he needs so the enemy will suffer a decisive blow and the way will be open for the corporate worship of God according to God's heart's desire. See, it is crucial that we diligently labor on Christ, to have our hands full of Christ, and then come to the church meetings to enjoy this rich and glorious Christ and God's children and with God the Father himself. This is family worship. We're here together. All the coleslaw has been put into the same container. This is the corporate worship. And the Father's been waiting for centuries. And now it's here. Not one time. This Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day. Now, 4 months later, much richer worship. A year later, higher development. Now it's spreading throughout India, throughout Russia, throughout China. No matter what the government tries to do, there's still this worship. In Australia, throughout Africa, South America, in Europe, North America, hundreds of churches worshiping the Father. What a glory this will be to God our Father. What a defeat to the enemy. And maybe the Lord would say to the adversary, who still has access, we know. He's saying, look at what's happening. I nullified all that you did. You were conquered. And look what's happening. And it will never stop. Your days are numbered. Because soon I'm going to rapture the overcomers. And we're coming back as the I will come back with the bridal army to force you off the earth. This is not too much. This is in the Father's heart. And we are those that have given ourselves to him for him to work this out. Let's just learn together. Sisters, please pray. Even don't try to compose a prayer. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, how are you praying about this? Transmit your prayer burden into us. And you will really pray. I am still alive physically, and I am still in the work and in the ministry at my age because of the prayers of the body, because of the prayer ministry of faithful sisters and also brothers. And now I'm pointing the prayer not to any need I would have or any co-worker has, but to satisfy the desire of God's heart. B, whenever we come to the Lord's table meeting to remember the Lord and worship the Father, we must come with the riches of Christ produced by our daily laboring on Christ. To worship God with Christ is to worship him collectively with all the children of God by enjoying Christ with one another and with God. We need to produce enough of Christ that there will be a surplus to share with others. and to offer the best part of the produce to God the Father for his joy, delight, and satisfaction. So our goal is to produce enough of Christ so that not only our needs are met, so that there will be a surplus to share with others, and to offer the best part of the produce to God the Father. And the Lord will train us. He will show us what is the best part, how to preserve the best part, how to offer the best part. We will all learn this together. We are learners. Nothing to be ashamed of. No matter how old you are or how long you've been here, it's not a shame to be a learner. I've got a big L, spiritually speaking, on my back that I learned from the UK. New drivers have an L on the back of their car to warn everybody else, be careful, this is a learner. And Brother Nee said we should all have this L. So I'm not ashamed to be a learner. I'm sharing this as a learner because deep within, there's a longing in us to worship God the Father for his joy, delight, and satisfaction. Dear saints, may it be so. May we all learn to labor, have the produce, exhibit Christ, and worship God the Father in a way that satisfies and brings joy to him. Amen. Burden released, message complete. Now it's your time.